chance we're crossing the same roads all at one time. Even if you say it coming, no time to play out gracefully. One thing I know for sure, there'll be no doubt when you see you are. Rest make the heaven in the middle of it. Rest make the heaven in the middle. We are. Rest make the heaven.
Secret truth. Through forgiveness we awaken, transforming information and knowledge into wisdom.
Welcome to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler. We've got a good program this evening. We're experiencing a tremendous amount of information coming in. The Ukraine thing, we have possibly Putin. Has a medical procedure coming up soon. We are coming out of the sun, out of Beeman, which is a scandal sheet. And also he has Parkinson's disease. So, well, we've got to wait and see how that translates. He's turning over temporarily, they say, the power of the presidency of Russia over to a hardline right that agreed with him about the invasion of the Ukraine. But coming up first, we've got John Bound with a good report, and he's always great in synthesizing and concluding things in a very direct way. Here we go with John Bound.
As moral society breaks down even further and the Satanists within the upper echelons of society assume that their rituals are acceptable to the masses, statements like these begin to trickle out.
I guess drank each other's blood might mislead people, or like people are imagining us with like goblets and we're like Game of Thrones drinking each other's blood. It's just a few drops. But yes, we do consume each other's blood on occasion for ritual purposes. Only.
In a tell-all interview with Glamour magazine, Megan Fox addressed rumors admitting that she and Machine Gun Kelly routinely engage in blood-drinking rituals.
It is used for a reason, and it is controlled, where it's like, let's shed a few drops of blood and each drink it. He's much more haphazard and hectic and chaotic, where he's willing to just like cut his chest open with broken glass and be like, take my soul. Let me bleed on you. It doesn't not happen, let me tell you. Maybe not exactly like that, but a version of that has happened many times.
As Jamie White writes, reactions from social media over Fox's disturbing revelations ranged from pointing out that Alex Jones was right about Hollywood's satanic energy to mocking Fox and Kelly's sadomasochistic romance. Meanwhile, a child formerly under the care of South African band The Antwoord, known as Taki, who is now 20 years old, accused the duo of exposing him and his underage sibling to pornography and sexual activity, unspeakable violence, and even rituals tinged with their own blood.
When I lifted up the one box, like, the whole black magic voodoo s*** came out. Like, they felt like a rabbit's foot. I think it was a wolf's foot or whatever. Felt out there. There was, like, a voodoo doll. There was a small bottle of blood.
Did you and your sister ever had blood taken from you by Ninja Nilundi?
Yes, lots of times, actually. They took us to like a place. It's not really like a hospital or a private hospital or some type of thing. But they took us there, and they said like it's like a hospital, but there was no cause there. And then Ninja took us in there, they took our blood. And then me, Randy, and then we go out, and then Ninja's the only one who stays in like inside the hospital like for 15 minutes or so. Then when he came out of there, he had like a little bag in his hand. And when he took out the things in the bag, I saw a little bottle of blood inside the bag. And my mother said it was going to be a good like experience for me. It's going to be better for me and whatnot. So I went. Then I also thought it was good. But then after a while, I found out to say they were actually just grooming me.
And speaking of the Hollywood pastime of grooming.
Read the book, you'll be like, transitioning from Disney to this was easy. I don't know, getting molested for from your 6 to your 14 seems like way harder circumstances. You're being physically abused all the time. The type of mistreatment that I was still dealing with at that time, that everyone around me saw and did nothing.
According to the Daily Mail, a British actress who starred in Doctor Strange and her husband are accused of having sex with a 13-year-old girl after they groomed her. The girl, now an adult, says that Zara Pithian and Victor Mark filmed the abuse in a bid to recreate pornographic scenes. The abuse is claimed to have happened between 2005 and 2008 when the couple were martial arts instructors in Nottinghamshire. Everything that we've seen already is just the beginning, and our society is enabling this evil inhabiting the bodies and minds of those we clamor to theaters and music venues to pay our hard-earned money to see. But it all adds up. In the words of John Adams, our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. John Bound reporting.
Boy, this is really getting dangerous out here. Next, we have Robert Barnes and Roger Stone and Alex. And they say some very prophetic things about the government weaponizing their different departments against citizens and patriots and so forth. And this is very, very dangerous. And I'm going to follow that by a clip from Tucker Carlson, and he nails it. He nails it down. We're in a really dangerous situation now. We've got to wake up, really wake up, and draw a red line. But anyway, here's what Robert Barnes and Roger Stone and Alex had to say about this. Is about a week ago, and then this week Tucker Carlson, I'll follow that with one of his interviews, and also Glenn Greenwald, also about Elon Musk. But here we go with this Robert Barnes and Roger Stone and Alex. Here we go next.
If this was an honest inquiry, James Comey would have been indicted, Peter Strzok would have been indicted, John Brennan would have been indicted, Clapper would have been indicted, Hillary Clinton would have been indicted.
So what do you think Durham's up to?
Durham's history is he's a cover-up artist. So his goal is to make this look like it was just an external corruption. Hey, there was a few low-level actors, even Kleinsmith he gave a sweetheart deal to, even though he perjured himself in a FISA warrant application. To make it sound like, hey, our FBI guys are nice, our CIA guys are great, to cover up for the real deep state and throw him a few fall guys.
And we're literally sitting here with one of the main victims of it, Roger Stone.
So what I think is happening here, frankly, is unfortunately, the Obamas are done with the Clintons. They want them off the stage. So in a certain sense, what I think happens is that Durham offers a blistering report, which condemns Hillary Clinton, which points out the criminality of her and her operatives. But unfortunately, he reaches the conclusion that because he took his sweet time, the 5 years has run out and they can't be prosecuted. Now the Clintons are out of the way for the launch of Michelle Obama's 2024 presidential campaign. I'm going on record right now on the show telling you that she, not Kamala Harris, not Joe Biden, will be the Democratic nominee. So Biden is doing, Durham, in my opinion, is doing the bidding of the deep state that wants to clear the deck of the Clintons. The Clintons, at this point, the Bidens, carry too much baggage with the American electorate.
Amazing in this trifecta. You got Alex Jones, you got Robert Barnes, a great constitutional lawyer, a good friend of mine with Sparkville Leno, and the beautiful Roger Stone here with us. I want to talk about the big picture, where the globalists are, what they're doing, the head of the IMF saying world collapse imminent, devaluation, sovereign defaults. I played the clips first hour. I mean, just horrifying news. We knew they were positioning us for this. She says it's an accident. That's a quote. And that they don't know. Quote, we didn't think through the consequences of printing too much money. We already are out of time. Those are quotes. I played the video first hour. I mean, we are living in epic times. And their answer is declare all Republicans or populists as terrorists if you question the election or force inoculations or lockdowns or open borders. We have the federal law on testing illegal aliens for diseases. That's being annulled. I mean, we are living in the New World Order takeover. You got the Easter Bunny publicly giving the president directives. I mean, Robert Barnes, then we'll get to Stone to get his take. What would you call this period of time we're in right now?
Well, we're seeing the complete weaponization of the legal process. So, you know, the President Trump today is now facing $10,000 a day sanctions, so-called contempt for a proceeding that shouldn't be allowed to occur in the first place. I mean, you look at what they're being critical of DeSantis with concerning Disney, which was a completely legal action. Contrast that to the direct targeting. The Attorney General of New York ran on a campaign saying, elect me, I'll go harass and use the legal process to harass Donald Trump. And the courts are not only allowing it, but now encouraging it, incentivizing it, and rewarding it.
3 weeks after they did it to me, they're now doing it to him, and they're trying to take MTG's right to run for office because she said they're trying to frustrate voters' will, so they try to frustrate voters' will.
Exactly. They're mischaracterizing the 14th Amendment provision that was only meant to apply to the Confederacy, which was annulled itself by the 1872 Amnesty Act, as recognized by a federal court when Congressman Cawthorn brought that up.
Yeah, they're trying to say, when you're declared a foreign enemy, we can do this. But they're just declaring all their opposition an enemy.
Correct. I mean, that statutory provision was, that constitutional provision was only meant to apply to the Confederates, ex-Confederates. And we annulled it in 1872. And so it should not be applicable to anybody. It was misapplied to Congressman Berger for his opposition to World War One in 1918, but that was a misapplication of it. Now we're seeing it reinvigorated, and they're trying to say anybody who questioned the election, anybody who challenges an institutional narrative, is now an insurrectionist. So it's part of the January 6th cases. We saw it as part of the Whitmer entrapment cases. It's part of what they're doing with Marjorie Taylor Greene, and they tried to do to Paul Gosar in Arizona. It failed. A court said it didn't have any
legal basis. So it's an attempt at outlawing your opposition. What does that say about the Democrats in the deep state?
Well, basically, they're taking the same thing Zelensky is doing in Ukraine, which is, I mean, they would like to apply the same. People should watch that because they're trying to do the same project here. I mean, they're banning opposition media. They're locking up opposition leaders. They're just, you know, two steps ahead of where the Democrats would like to take the United States of America, to lock up dissidents.
That's right. The same globalists are in our country advising Ukraine, where they're banning even pro-Zelensky parties, all opposition banned, all media controlled.
Correct. In fact, there's only one single broadcast that's allowed throughout the country now. There's bloggers that are being summarily executed on the street. There was a journalist, Gonzalo Lira, who's an American citizen, Chilean citizen, who disappeared for a week, and but for a bunch of us making noise, may have been dead himself. So that's the mindset mentality that's infecting the West as well, infecting the United States as well. We're seeing the continue. All the things they accused Nixon of, as Roger can remember, these folks are actually doing. They said that, you know, Nixon had a hit list and all the rest. He didn't actually weaponize the IRS anywhere like they're weaponizing the IRS now. They're weaponizing the law enforcement, weaponizing the Justice Department, weaponizing attorney generals, trying to criminalize and put in prison anybody who's a dissident or disagrees with the system.
That's not what a strong group does, is it, Roger?
No, I think that what you see is the hysteria. Look, the greatest single example of this is just north of us in Canada, the abuse of the Canadian truck convoy. The brutal authoritarian jackboot tactics used on peaceful protesters.
No bail, charged with terrorism.
Freezing their bank accounts, making it impossible for them to eat. Derek Sloan, a former conservative, a member of parliament, now with the Ontario Party, outspoken against all of this, now seeking election in Ontario to take away the Conservative Party, folks, in Canada, is not in any way conservative. So even there, the revolution has spread. And if you want to see what's going to happen there, here, just look at what happened there. Also notice that the American truck convoy got no media coverage virtually at all. It was like a blackout, like it didn't even happen.
Coming up next is Tulsi Gabbard, quizzed by, asked by Hannity, what she thinks about this new disinformation governance board. And here's what she had to say. And boy, it was pointed into the truth. Here we go with Tulsi Gabbard.
Former Democratic Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard is with us. How do you feel? I think it's. How do you feel about the Ministry of Truth?
This is the kind of thing that you see in dictatorships, this Ministry of Truth, this Department of Propaganda that the Biden administration has just stood up. And the reason why you see this in dictatorships is because they're afraid of us. They're afraid of the people. They're afraid that we might actually think for ourselves. And so now they've created this body that will do two things. Number one, it'll use taxpayer dollars to work through the mainstream media and flood the airwaves with whatever their propaganda narrative is that they're pushing at any given time and try to drown out anyone with alternate views. And number two, they will silence dissenting voices through intimidation. I think the thing to recognize with this, just real quick, is that this isn't something new. This is something that they have already been doing that's happening right now. The only difference is they're formalizing it, making it official, which if there's a silver lining in this, it is they're revealing exactly who they are and why they're doing it, what they're trying to accomplish. And it allows us, the American people, to stand up and say, hey, you know what? We're not going to let you get away with this crap. We will take a stand. We will reject it. And we will throw out of office those who are continuing to push and propagate this undemocratic, anti-free speech mission.
Both Democrats and Republicans and libertarians and independents or whoever, whatever stripe of the political, label you want to put on yourself, got to stand up against this. We've got to draw a red line. We've got to stop this disinformation governance board. It's just like Tulsi Gabbard said, it's a sign of dictatorship. We've got to stop this now. Now, coming up next is a Tucker Carlson extended interview about this subject, and he really lays it on the line. And he also says, we've got to stop this. So here we go with Tucker Carlson.
Well, one option would be to get men with guns to tell you to shut up. Most Americans probably haven't thought of that because this isn't Africa or Eastern Europe. This is America, and we don't do things like that here and never have. More precisely, we haven't until now. But now Joe Biden is president and everything is different. So today, to herald the coming of the new Soviet America, the administration announced its own Ministry of Truth. This will be called the Disinformation Governance Board. Laugh if you want, but just to show you they're not kidding around here, this board is not part of the State Department or any other agency focused on foreign threats from abroad. No. The Disinformation Governance Board is part of the Department of Homeland Security. DHS is a law enforcement agency designed to police the United States and that, by the way, has a famously large stockpile of ammunition. So it's not a joke at all. Here's DHS Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas.
We have just established a mis- and disinformation governance board in the Department of Homeland Security to more effectively combat this threat, not only to election security, but to our homeland security.
Oh, so one of America's top law enforcement officers just announces to the Congress that actually we're going to be policing what you say, and everyone in the room kind of nods, oh, yeah, it's totally normal. But here's what he didn't say. So America's told us that disinformation is a threat to Homeland Security. Now, he's the head of the Department of Homeland Security, so presumably he would know, since assessing threats to Homeland Security is his job. But what he didn't tell us is how he's defining disinformation. So here you have this new and terrifying thing that the Biden administration is so concerned about that it's created a new agency to fight it, but Mayorkas never said or even hinted as to what it might be. So the man in charge of the Disinformation Governing Board never defined disinformation. It's almost unbelievable when you think about it. Would you declare war on a country you couldn't name? Would you sentence someone to death for a crime you couldn't describe? Of course you wouldn't, not if you were a sane and decent person. Because you can't have justice without precise definitions. That's why we have very large books of law that define what is allowed and what is not. But they're not defining the core concept at the heart of what is effectively a new law enforcement agency. Maybe that's because Mayorkas doesn't want justice, and neither does the president he serves. They want power. And to get power, they plan to control what you think. Watch Mayorkas explain.
We have so many different efforts underway to equip local communities to identify individuals who very well could be descending into violence by reason of ideologies of hate, false narratives, or other disinformation and misinformation propagated on social media and other platforms.
Oh, did you know that? So one of our biggest law enforcement agencies has men with guns around the country doing so many things to stop disinformation and false narratives. Those aren't even lies. They're just deviations from the approved script. America's told us again that men with guns plan to, quote, identify individuals who could be descending into violence, could be descending. Not people who've committed violence or even been accused of any crime at all. DHS is instead using law enforcement powers to identify and punish people who think the wrong things. That would be opponents of the Biden administration. Is this dystopian fiction? No, it's happening right in front of us. That means that Joe Biden's partisan political enemies are now officially enemies of the state. How is this happening in America? Good question, but it is happening. And Biden's new thought cop in chief has been revealed. She's a 33-year-old, highly self-confident young woman called Nina Jankowicz. Jankowicz comes from a place called the Wilson Center. That's a nonprofit named for America's other mentally incapacitated warmonger bigot president. Ironically, because everything is irony, the Wilson Center is itself a major producer of, yes, disinformation, but of the neocon variety, and for that reason is heavily funded by the Biden administration. Jankowicz is also, because everything is connected, a former advisor to the neoliberal government of Ukraine, the government we're shipping tens of billions of tax dollars to as our own economy swirls down the drain. So you really can't make any of this up. It's too grotesque. Would you believe a novel with this plot? No, you wouldn't. But it's happening, and that's the bad news. The good news is everyone involved in Joe Biden's new Ministry of Information is a buffoon. They may be evil, but they're also ridiculous. Nina Jankowicz is the most ridiculous of all. So you read about her appointment in the Washington Post this morning, and you immediately thought of the NKVD, because why wouldn't you? Yet even the NKVD, even at the height of Stalin's purges, never did karaoke. They were too dignified for that. But Nina Jankowicz happily does. Here she is.
Information laundering is really quite ferocious. It's when a huckster takes some lies and makes them sound precocious by saying them in Congress or a mainstream outlet. So disinformation's origins are slightly less atrocious. It's how you hide a little, hide a little lie. It's how you hide a little, hide a little lie. It's how you hide a little, hide a little lie. When Rudy Giuliani shared that intel from Ukraine, or when TikTok influencers say COVID can cause pain, they're laundering disinfo when we really should take note and not support their lies with our wallet, voice, or vote. Oh!
So this is the point of the show. We're going to say we're kidding, we're making all of this up. It's not really happening in the country you were born in, but it is happening. That's now a law enforcement official. It's also the person you just saw, an individual who brags about getting a master's degree from Georgetown University. In case you're wondering if the entire academic credentialing machine that sustains America's ruling class is in fact a joke. Spoiler alert, yes, it is a joke. This is somebody with so few useful skills that she describes herself in the first words of her own bio as a, quote, internationally recognized expert on disinformation. As if that's a job of some sort. Imagine if one of your kids grew up to be an internationally recognized expert on disinformation. The shame you would feel. The pain of knowing that truly and unequivocally you had failed as a parent. After all those years of advanced education, Nina Jankowicz became an internationally recognized expert on disinformation. And not only that, she can't even rhyme very well. What Nina Jankowicz can do, her one skill, the purpose for which she was hired, is level partisan attacks on the other side with maximum ferocity. That is her real job. Now, you may have noticed, if you listen carefully to the ditty that she just sang, that every example of disinformation in her karaoke performance came from people who opposed Joe Biden's policies. Is that a coincidence? Probably not. In fact, we know it's not, because Nina Jankowicz is telling all the disinformation is on the other side of the political divide. Listen.
Most of the disinformation that we've seen, this highly emotionally manipulative content, is coming from the right. If you look at the top 10, you know, most engaged with posts on Facebook or Twitter on a given day, they are usually posts that are coming from the right. And that's because the right does deal in this highly emotional rhetoric.
You'd have to live in a self-awareness-free vacuum. You might even have to go to Georgetown University to utter a sentence like that. The right deals in this highly emotional rhetoric, says Nina Jankowicz. Now, it's worth noting here, because we can't resist, that this very same Nina Jankowicz once wrote an entire book about how women can't use the internet because it's just too upsetting for them. They're too fragile to read words they disagree with. It makes them faint. Here's a direct quote from Nina Jankowicz's book. Quote, to be a woman online is an inherently dangerous act. Keep in mind, if you're a lady and you were to, I don't know, order Uber Eats, you're exposing yourself to danger. This is the same woman, Nina Jankowicz, telling you that it's the right that uses emotional rhetoric. Now, to be fair, Nina Jankowicz probably didn't expect a lot of people to read that in her book because no one read her book. It has a total of 2 reviews on Amazon. But we did read it. We'll get in a moment to what we found because it tells you exactly what we can expect from our new Ministry of Truth under Nina Jankowicz. But first, it's necessary to know a little more about this person. Now, she's not simply a hypocrite. She obviously is, whether she knows it or not. She would be too dim to understand hypocrisy. What she really is, of course, is a heavy for the Democratic Party, and she's done that job flawlessly. Nina Jankowicz, the disinformation hunter, once called the Hunter Biden laptop story, which is entirely true, a, quote, Trump campaign product. In October of 2020, she wrote, quote, voters deserve the context, not a fairy tale about a laptop repair shop. Now, did she give us the context or any countervailing facts? Did she deliver the truth about that story? No, of course not. She just read a bunch of lies somebody handed to her on a card because she's a useful idiot. And now she's a law enforcement official. Nina Jankowicz is repeating a lie that was, of course, widespread on the eve of the presidential election. And when she repeated it, made it possible for Joe Biden to repeat it on the debate stage during a presidential debate. In case you've forgotten, here he is.
There are 50 former national intelligence folks who said that what this he's accusing me of is a Russian plant. They have said that this is has all the care. Five former heads of the CIA, both parties, say what he's saying is a bunch of garbage. Nobody believes it except his and his good friend Rudy Giuliani.
You mean the laptop is now another Russia hoax?
That's exactly what.
This is where.
I'm going to ad lib. Okay, see, just to be clear, this is a nightmare unfolding in slow motion, but this is the point where we're just going to have to draw the line. No, Joe Biden, you can't have a federally funded Ministry of Truth. And no, Nina Jankowicz can't run it. Period. It's not your country, you're not even Compass Menace, and you don't get to do this to a free people. Period. This can't happen. And what is this? Well, if you want to know what's going to happen, look at what just did happen. So Nina Jankowicz made it possible for a presidential candidate to lie from the debate stage about a story that may have changed the outcome of election. Our election, our presidential election, speaking of disinformation. She's never apologized for that. That's because her role has nothing to do with the truth or stopping disinformation. Her job is to restrict any speech that challenges Joe Biden or the Democratic Party. Now, you'd think that would be illegal in this country as a federal employee because we do have a First Amendment. But Nina Jankowicz doesn't believe in the First Amendment. As she wrote recently, quote, the free speech versus censorship framing is a false dichotomy. First of all, here's facilitated. False dichotomy means they're never going to have to explain why their position is correct or yours is wrong. That is dismissed with, oh, it's a false dichotomy. Again, that's an NPR phrase used by low IQ people who for some reason run our country all of a sudden. False dichotomy. Here's what's not false at all. Government censorship is banned by the First Amendment, the First Amendment to the Bill of Rights. This whole country is predicated on that. But according to Joe Biden's new Minister of Truth, the First Amendment no longer applies in this country because Russia and systemic racism. Watch.
Actors like Russia are using those internal fissures, things like our systemic racism here in the United States, things like economic inequality, to amplify these issues and really make us distrust the system.
So we reached out to DHS, the law enforcement agency now in charge of policing speech, about Nina Jankowicz and her plans to censor you from saying what you think is true. And they assured us that they weren't going to do that. They're going to focus on human smuggling and Russia propaganda on Ukraine. First of all, it's not their job to decide what you learn about the border or Russia or Ukraine. It's your job. You're an adult. You can read whatever you want. But of course, it's not about that anyway. If you read Jankowicz's book, which we did, you will realize very quickly she was hired to police domestic social media use, period. Quote, I have hope we can change the norms by which our online ecosystem is governed, she wrote in a typically illiterate sentence. This is what our colleges are producing. Morons, you can't even write English. Later in the book, she encourages women to go to law enforcement if they see something online they don't like on Twitter. She called that, quote, an important step in the denormalization of women's treatment online. It's hard even to believe our system produces people like this. She's an illiterate fascist. In another book, Jankowicz made it clear that she's not in favor of government regulation of social media when it allows conservatives to speak freely. So she devotes an entire chapter to criticizing the country of Poland for establishing its own Ministry of Digital Affairs. Polish officials said their ministry was a way to, quote, deal with rampant online censorship of conservatives on social networks. But she's against that. She's against the anti-censorship program. She's for censorship. She wrote that Poland was making a big mistake in pulling back censorship. And we're quoting, Poland's nearsightedness is leaving it extremely vulnerable, she wrote. And the solution, she wrote back, is for the U.S. government to, quote, lead in regulating and conducting oversight of people who disagree with the Democratic Party on Twitter. So the truth was never the goal. And we're quoting again. We are not even sure that facts can prevail over disinformation, Jankiewicz wrote. We must first begin with addressing social media. And just to be totally clear, the means of the distribution of information are the key to their rule. It's all they have. They have nothing but that. If you knew what was actually going on, you wouldn't put up with this for a second. And they know that. And the Biden administration knew that Jankiewicz wrote all of this. That's why they hired her. What you're seeing is a full-scale attack on free speech in a country that has been free for nearly 250 years, and it's happening at the direction of the U.S. government through a law enforcement agency. We can reveal that Biden's Pentagon, another group with guns, awarded a $750,000 contract to a group called NewsGuard. Now, that contract is for misinformation fingerprints. NewsGuard is an organization that claims to fight, quote, misinformation, but in practice is a censorship organization, targets anyone who challenges the people in power. NewsGuard is currently preparing a blacklist of sites that contradict the national security state's talking points on Ukraine and Russia. So this week, NewsGuard wrote a threatening email to the news site Gray Zone, informing the Gray Zone that they're spreading, quote, disinformation because they're not reading the script. So here's how the editor of the Gray Zone, Max Blumenthal, responded. He wrote this. Do you seriously expect us to grovel for approval from the same tentacle of the national security state and financial oligarchy that has rated CNN as a highly credible news source and whose board of advisors is a grotesque gallery of corporate propagandists, spooks, documented liars, war criminals who've never faced a scintilla of accountability for their actions? Kind of overheated language. Is it true? Yeah, every word of it. So when Joe Biden's censors come, that's the way you respond. Hey, pal, up yours. You want some disinformation? Here you go. You are a free person in a free country, and no law enforcement agency can ever tell you what to think or say, period. Charlie Hurd is the opinion editor of the Washington Times, a man who lives by the First Amendment. He joins us tonight. Why are we putting up with this, Charlie Hurd?
I have no idea. It's a great question. There was a time in this country when you would have had Republicans who would literally shut down a department over something like this. This was the power of the purse that Congress has, and they should absolutely do it now. And the most important thing here, you know, there's so much of this that is ridiculous and hilarious and absurd, but the most important thing here is the thing you started out with, which is the agency that they have decided to put this Ministry of Information into is the largest, the most militarized domestic agency we have in this government. The DHS has more guns, has more bullets, has more materiel than any other federal department other than the Department of Defense. They buy bullets by the millions. And the fact that they are choosing to put this Ministry of Truth into that department tells you all you need to know. And if Democrats, as well as Republicans, but also Democrats in Congress, are not terrified by this and doing everything they can to stop it, then we're done. We're finished.
This has got to be the red line. We cannot put up with this. You can't have this. This is if there's anything that's unconstitutional, it's this right here. And we should stop it immediately, for real. Charlie Hurd, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, Tucker really is putting it out there. But next, okay. Glenn Greenwald used to be with The Intercept. He was one of the founding members of that. And he got kicked off or resigned. I've forgotten what it was. But he went to Substract or whatever. And he's interviewed now by Tucker quite often. But here's what he said about the Elon Musk takeover of Twitter. And it's really insightful. I just hope it doesn't come true. But he said they're going to attack and destroy Elon Musk as much as they can. But here we go with what Glenn Greenwald had to say about this recent takeover of Twitter by Elon Musk.
Musk. Two of his companies, Tesla and SpaceX, have close relationships with the federal government. Tesla is dependent on Chinese factories. That's where the batteries come from. Now he's promising to take Twitter into an uncensored social media platform. So that is a huge threat to the governments of both the U.S. and China. What does that mean? Glenn Greenwald has been following this story, knows a lot of the players in it, has been fighting for free speech for a long time. We spoke to Greenwald a couple of hours ago for an episode of Tucker Carlson Today coming out tomorrow morning at Fox News. Really interesting. Watch. What do you make of Elon Musk? Do you think he's sincere?
You know, Elon Musk is somebody who has grown up in incredible privilege. So he was part of an extremely wealthy family from South Africa. His father was, you know, a very rich entrepreneur. He came to the United States and he, you know, took that wealth and made it into, you know, into a different universe. I mean, there's some kids born into wealth and they just kind of live on their father's accomplishments. He obviously is not somebody who did that. He's created, you know, companies that are extremely successful, but he also has had a relationship with the Pentagon and with the security state,
yeah.
both with Tesla and with SpaceX. So he's never really exhibited kind of a dissident mentality before.
And with the Chinese government, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, he has a very good relationship with the Chinese government because that's an important market for his companies. So if you say to me, do I see Elon Musk as this sort of rebel who's going to lead a revolution against the, you know, hegemonic liberal order? I'm going to be very skeptical,
yes,
given that up until this moment, we haven't really seen that. We've seen some kind of, like, trolling behavior, you know, some kind of personality. He's not Bill Gates, right? He doesn't comport himself as just, like, constantly closed. You know, he has fun as a billionaire, but it's more like tweaking. It's never been, like, a systemic critique. Now suddenly he's waving the banner of free speech and saying that it's gotten so repressive on the internet. I don't know whether he's authentic or not, but here's what I know. He's the only one of that billionaire class who's saying that and doing something about it at the same time, not just saying, complaining, but doing something about it. And either one of two things is going to happen. Either he's sincere and he's going to do it, in which case I think it's one of the most important and positive developments perhaps in decades to restore free speech to one of the most important public squares digitally that we have. It'll be an extraordinary reversal of this trend toward tyranny. That's one possibility. The other possibility is that he either isn't sincere or he is sincere and will try, but will fail because of the backlash and the forces amassed against him, which will be extremely significant. In which case, for me, we'll just have the status quo. The status quo
right.
is billionaires censoring the internet. So if he fails, we'll just have billionaires censoring the internet and nothing will have been lost. So for me, I only see upside. If he takes over Twitter with all of this fanfare and all of this talk and threat about bringing back free speech and then fails to do so, he's going to look like a fraud and a failure. So I'm not so worried that he won't, that he doesn't really harbor that intention as is pretending to. What I question is whether he's going to be able to, because you can be the richest person on the planet, but if you're trying to take away a weapon from the most powerful institutions on the planet, which is what he's doing, he's trying to remove and take out of the hands of the Pentagon, the U.S. government, Democratic Party, Wall Street, all of these, NATO, all of these institutions of power, an extremely powerful, one of the, probably their most powerful weapon to censor the internet and therefore propagandize huge populations. He's threatening to take that away from them, to allow dissent to flourish, to ideas to be challenged. You think they're going to just let him waltz in and take that from them without one of the most vicious fights you've ever seen? They're going to try and destroy him.
He's taking away their most powerful weapon. They're going to try and destroy him. Tomorrow morning, you can stream our entire conversation with Glenn Greenwald, which is worth it. It's now at 7 a.m. on Fox Nation. So bad news for the race lady over at MSNBC tonight. She could be facing a big lawsuit from a former NFL player. That player joins us straight ahead to explain. Really interesting. Watch. What do you make of Elon Musk? Do you think he's sincere?
You know, Elon Musk is somebody who has grown up in incredible privilege. So he was part of an extremely wealthy family from South Africa. His father was, you know, a very rich entrepreneur. He came to the United States and he, you know, took that wealth and made it into, you know, into a different universe. I mean, he's, you know, there's some kids born into wealth and they just kind of live on their father's accomplishments. He obviously is not somebody who did that. He's created, you know, companies that are extremely successful, but he also has had a relationship with the Pentagon and with the security state, yeah, both with Tesla and with SpaceX. So he's never really exhibited kind of a dissident mentality before.
And with the Chinese government too.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, he has a very good relationship with the Chinese government because that's an important market for his companies. So if you say to me, do I see Elon Musk as this sort of rebel who's going to lead a revolution against the, you know, hegemonic liberal order? I'm going to be very skeptical.
Yes.
Given that up until this moment, we haven't really seen that. We've seen some kind of like trolling behavior, you know, some kind of personality. He's not Bill Gates, right? He doesn't comport himself as just like constantly closed. You know, he has fun as a billionaire, but it's more like tweaking. It's never been like a systemic critique. Now suddenly he's waving the banner of free speech and saying that it's gotten so repressive on the internet. I don't know whether he's authentic or not, but here's what I know. He's the only one of that billionaire class who's saying that and doing something about it at the same time, not just saying, complaining, but doing something about it. And either one of two things is going to happen. Either he's sincere and he's going to do it, in which case I think it's one of the most important and positive developments perhaps in decades to restore free speech to one of the most important public squares digitally that we have. It'll be an extraordinary reversal of this trend toward tyranny. That's one possibility. The other possibility is that he either isn't sincere or he is sincere and will try, but will fail because of the backlash and the forces amassed against him, which will be extremely significant. In which case, for me, we'll just have the status quo. The status quo right. is billionaires censoring the internet. So if he fails, we'll just have billionaires censoring the internet and nothing will have been lost. So for me, I only see upside. If he takes over Twitter with all of this fanfare and all of this talk and threat about bringing back free speech and then fails to do so, he's going to look like a fraud and a failure. So I'm not so worried that he won't, that he doesn't really harbor that intention and is just pretending to. What I question is whether he's going to be able to, because you can be the richest person on the planet, but if you're trying to take away a weapon from the most powerful institutions on the planet, which is what he's doing, he's trying to remove and take out of the hands of the Pentagon, the U.S. government, Democratic Party, Wall Street, all of these, NATO, all of these institutions of power, an extremely powerful, one of the, probably the most powerful weapon to censor the internet and therefore propagandize huge populations. He's threatening to take that away from them, to allow dissent to flourish, to ideas to be challenged. You think they're going to just let him waltz in and take that from them without one of the most vicious fights you've ever seen? They're going to try and destroy him.
We're going to finish off this first hour with Jay Dyer, and he gives us some excellent information about the Disneyland organization and when they first put that together out in Florida and so forth. And it has quite a bit of intelligence agencies that were involved in planning and so forth. And he thinks that it's more of a cultural change type of operation than anything. But here we go with Jay Dyer. I'm just going to go to the end of our exit music with his interview. And I'll put it up on the web, thesecrettruth.com. You can come in there and listen to his whole interview. And also the interview with Barnes and Tucker Carlson. Well, Tucker Carlson, you heard almost the whole interview there. But anyway, I'll put up the Robert Barnes interview they had with Alex and Roger Stone. But I'll also put a full clip up on Jay Dyer also. So here we go with Jay Dyer talking about Disney and Disneyland out there in Florida.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer, together with Jamie Hanshaw, and we're covering the dark secrets, the dark side of Disney. And I want to remind you, too, to help keep InfoWars on the air, go to the InfoWars store, get the products that you need, get the books, get the DVDs, get those health products, especially the toothpaste, which I'm a big fan of. I do brush my teeth. A lot of people out there on the internet think I don't brush my teeth. I do brush my teeth at least four times a day, probably.
I really like the Coral Calcium toothpaste.
Yeah, she does like it. I used to have
sensitive teeth, and then after I used that, the sensitivity to sugar has gone away, so get used to it.
Well, also, when you wear your grill, it doesn't affect you, the sensitivity.
Yeah.
So let's get back to Disney. And I want to remind you, too, also, if you want to support the work that we do, we have also written books on these topics for years now. In fact, way ahead of time, I wrote my book, Esoteric Hollywood, where I got into the very topics that we're covering today many, many, many years ago. Some of these essays I wrote at least 10, 15 years ago, and they've really proven to be true. I was talking about all the occult stuff. I was talking about the ritual abuse. I was talking about the blood drinking type of stuff that you hear in the news today. And it all goes back to an attempt to scientifically use cult mindsets and cult techniques to control not just weirdos in Hollywood, but the whole culture. And that's why Jamie's insights into Disney are really powerful here.
Well, let's talk about who actually built Disneyland, the happiest place on Earth.
A lot of people don't know this.
A weird story that I found in a very obscure place, a little article in Fate magazine. So Walt actually consulted with SRI, whose clients include all branches of the military, the Office of Naval Research, and DARPA, to determine the best location of the park. It was decided by C.V. Wood, who left SRI to become Disneyland's main engineer and more. He introduced Walt to the outside sponsors like Monsanto and GE. Disneyland sits on Latitude 33, which is famous for other strange events such as Roswell and the Kennedy assassination. The same people who invented GPS and weather radar are studying the electromagnetic properties of Disneyland, and they used their knowledge of ley lines to build the park on three intersecting lines, where they built King Arthur's Carousel that supposedly these people are positing that they are collecting energies and spinning them around. So I don't know how woo you want to get with this, but it is definitely weird that Walt Disney is working with SRI.
Well, they were, and SRI at that time was studying the occult stuff, right? So the U.S. government was doing research into the occult. That's on record. They studied the remote viewing and all these kinds of techniques, Project Stargate and all that. Those are real projects, which eventually kind of becomes the Men Who Stare at Goats story. But, yeah, I think that a lot of people don't know this. This is what leads into basically the CIA helping Walt to get that land and basically set it up as its own weird kind of city state.
One more thing about Disneyland in California, the original Pirates of the Caribbean used real skeletons because they thought fake ones looked too fake.
Egregious.
Yes. So there you have Disneyland, but then who built Disney World, as you were saying? And hint, I'll give you...
I already said it.
It's three letters, CIA. So in the 1960s, Disney operatives engaged in a far-ranging conspiracy to make sure sellers had no idea who was buying the Central Florida property, because it would make the property values and everything go up, and they didn't want to spend all that money. So Disney's key contact in the CIA was named William Wild Bill Donovan, who was also called the father of the CIA. And he provided fake identities for Disney's agents to buy property and set up a secret communications center and a disinfo campaign to maintain control over the development. Then you have Paul Helwell, who helped launch a secret CIA war in Indochina and other psyops against Castro. He came to work with Disney, and he came up with a way to avoid taxation, environmental regulations, and immunity from the Constitution. So this was the classic CIA strategy in foreign countries, which is set up a puppet government and then use the regime to do your bidding.
Yeah, it's a state within a state. It's the same model of the Vatican, of Washington, D.C., the city of London. They're states within states. And they even had their own bylaws, their own police force. A lot of people don't believe this, but that's actually the real history of Disney.
Yes. So they created cities whose only official residents would be handpicked by Disney loyalists who elected officials under control of Disney executives. And so the Magic Kingdom in Florida is actually the city of Bay Lake, Florida, and then the other one is the city of Lake Buena Vista. And these parks reshaped Central Florida, and Walt gave the opening speech from beyond the grave. That was weird.
That is weird.
And then you have theme park corporate sponsors.
Yeah, well, I remember the last time that I was at Disney, I was walking around Epcot, and I was noticing how it's basically just a giant bunch of advertisements. I mean, it's really lame. Like, you walk over to whatever that banana boat ride is, and literally the whole ride is just you're riding like a giant banana floating around a bunch of GMO plants. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole thing was an ad for depopulation in Monsanto. It's a Monsanto-sponsored banana ride.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't believe that. So, this is the stupidest thing ever.
Yes, all the rides in the parks are sponsored by military industrial corporations or something like that.
Siemens Corporation.
Yeah. So in 1935, Walt Disney met with H.G. Wells, who you've talked a lot about, who along with Jules Verne and Leonardo da Vinci were a huge inspiration for Tomorrowland. So we know what H.G. Wells wants for tomorrow, right?
Yeah, and Tomorrowland, well, Epcot and all of that is actually, it was called the City of the Future, and it was intended to be a preparation model for smart cities of the future.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to wonder how we're getting to the smart city and, oh, this is so revolutionary, the idea of a smart city is going to be so great, we're living in pods. No, this was planned a long time ago, and it was prepped through Epcot and the City of Tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. So then you have Nazi scientist Werner von Braun, who worked as a technical director on three Disney TV shows about space called Man in Space, Man in the Moon, and Mars and Beyond. And he appeared as one of Walt's experts on the world of tomorrow. There is your fine Nazi scientist Werner von Braun.
Yeah, again, proof that space is fake and gay.
Right.
That's a joke, by the way. It's a joke. It's just a joke. It's just a joke. I'm not saying space isn't real. It's a joke.
So like you said, Monsanto was one of Tomorrowland's original sponsors, and then theme parks as military industrial complex commercials is very true. And like you said, Epcot stands for Experimental Prototype Community of Tomorrow.
Yep.
And it is the most ideologically important piece of land in the United States.
Well, if you remember the last time I went and rode the goofy Epcot ride, like it's showing you the history of the human race, and it's like evolution and all this nonsense, you come out of the muck, and then it's ancient Egypt and Babylon, and then it's the American founding fathers. And then the end of the ride is like this nerdy little Bill Gates, animatronic Bill Gates over there slapping at a keyboard in his basement. Like, as if that's the real way that Microsoft came to be, was just some nerdy guy. Nerds in their garage, and it's like a little animatronic Bill Gates. Get the numbers down, get the numbers down, get the numbers down. And then you ride into the Matrix. Like you ride into what is supposed to be binary code, the Matrix.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole message is not just the City of Tomorrow, but, oh, we'll also put you in the Matrix in the City of Tomorrow, you see.
Mm-hmm. And it's basically the history of culture creation through language and communications, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and by the way, part of the ride is that you're tracked and trailed and surveilled through the whole ride. And they've secretly taken pictures of you when you get out of Epcot. And then, I can pay $50 for a picture of me going like this, riding Epcot, or riding the ride.
Mm-hmm.
And it was because they had been watching you the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And they tell you, it's like the future, you'll be totally surveilled. It's going to be so cool. Don't go anywhere. You're watching the Alex Jones Show. This is our breakdown of Disney. And we are going to be right back to cover more dark secrets. Welcome back to Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer. I want to remind you that here in about an hour or two on my YouTube channel, I'm going to be doing a live stream where I delve really deep into Hollywood cults, mind control, the whole blood drinking thing. What is that all about? How real is it? It's very real. And you want to definitely come and check that out. My YouTube channel is Jay Dyer. And I'm also over on Rockfin, which is a great free speech-based platform as well. It's a big fan, a big supporter of the work that I do. So shout out to Rockfin and definitely go subscribe there. Jamie, you were telling us about the dark origins of Disney, and mm-hmm. let's get more into we learned that the CIA helped secure the land, helped set up the bylaws so they could be their own kind of city-state. And to me, I've always thought this is just a giant mind-control culture creation operation. That's really what it is. So if you've talked about that for at least – I've talked about that for at least 20 years, and I know Alex has talked about that way before me. You've talked about it for a long time too. Why is it that it's so hard for people then to figure out, now that this is all coming out, oh, they're grooming. No, shocker. I mean, we've been saying that for years, right? We conspiracy theorists, quote unquote, are always vindicated, and yet we never get the credit for that when we talk about it, 10, 20 years ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's all coming out. Now they're, oh, yeah, we drink blood in Hollywood. So what? So what? So it doesn't exist, and then when it comes out, yeah, it exists, but so what? It's actually cool or whatever.
Yes, this revelation of the method is polarizing people, so now they're going to have to actually take a side when all the facts are out on
it. And then they're going to be like, well, it's, since they've been demoralized, they're going to be like, what's wrong with it? Who are we to, it's cultural relativism, dude. Who are you to say that it's wrong to drink blood or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Now, Disney had a role in this toxic culture and then making everybody culturally relativist.
Well, like I said, it's the most ideologically important piece of land in the U.S., and Disney, everyone knows that it's the largest multimedia conglomerate on Earth.
Right.
So it has the most influence on popular culture, and that's why I talk about it so much, and I try to drive the point home that Walt Disney Co. is an evil corporation.
Well, one point, too, to interject here. I remember one of the MKUltra doctors, Dr. Gregory Bateson, and he had a famous quote where he said that if you really want to control men and figure out how to capture an entire society and an entire culture, he says you have to capture their imagination.
Yes.
And then that made me think about, well, what is Disney? Their whole tagline is like...
They actually say, we capture your imagination.
Capture imagination. That's what Gregory Bateson said, the MKUltra doctor.
And then some of their employees are called Imagineers. So yeah, they're imagineering a different world.
Controlling your imagination, right.
Right. So the Bucky golf ball, you know, the Epcot ball, is sponsored by Siemens, a fine Nazi company whose corporate logo could be found over the gates of Auschwitz. And now it's in Disney World. The theme of the ride, like we were talking about before, is the history of language and communication from cavemen to the Matrix. So
that's what I was saying.
Yeah.
And the last thing you see is an animatronic Bill Gates slapping a keyboard.
Yes.
And in a basement.
It's a small world. After all, is sponsored by Pepsi and UNICEF. And if you go to UNICEF.org right now, there's a giant photo of a vaccine going into a kid's arm, and it says Immunization Agenda 2030, a global strategy to leave no one behind. And it's so creepy.
Yeah, it's all just totally cynical, complete anti-human depopulation, cloaked in, like, sugar and candy and like creepy, you know, mouse outfits.
Think about it's a small world, right? So
that's a global village, right? That's globalism.
Global village, reducing population, and then leave no one behind. That could have two meanings, right?
Like, yeah, right.
Leave no people behind.
Well, and I remember the last time I was there, I was thinking about if you were to look above Disneyland, you know, have all the kids, everybody wears the stupid mouse hats.
Mm-hmm.
It's like mice running around in a rat maze, which is like a giant experiment, basically.
Yes.
It's a giant rat experiment.
We talked about this on my show on YouTube. You can find it under my name, and it's called Out of This World. Me and Kristen Lagan talked about science and the effects of the studies of rats and mice and how mice are, you know, lab rats, basically. So we are now the Mickey Mouse lab rats that they experiment on.
Well, the more I think about it, I mean, this is basically just a giant acid trip. I mean, Disneyland is just, I mean, look at this. Like, it's a small world after all. It's basically a bad acid trip.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
And we'll get to the Monarch program in one second. I just wanted to talk about Disney CIA connection a little bit more. So their close associations with the CIA and the intelligence community, this says Disney World is responsible for the nation's largest single commercial application of biometrics. And that's true because when you enter the park now, you have to give your fingerprint. They take your face biometrics.
No, I remember I first heard that from Alex. He covered that back in probably 2004 or 2005.
Yes.
I remember Alex covering that.
So after 9/11, the government actually sought Disney's advice on intelligence, security, and biometrics, and they boast the use of biometrics at their parks and the cruise line, and a number of Disneyland employees have gone on to fill some of the most sensitive positions in U.S. intelligence and security communities, including Disney executive Gordon Levin, Eric Hastline, and Bran Farron.
God bless each and every one of you. Good night.